There's a wideness in God's mercy I cannot find in my own, and it keeps this fire burning to melt this heart of stone. Keeps me aching with the yearning, keeps me glad to have been caught in the restless raging fury that they call the love of God.
We're going to complete here the seven churches by addressing Smyrna and Philadelphia. I mentioned at the beginning of this series on these church letters in the book of Revelation that the pattern of menorah is reflected in these. And here's one good example. Smyrna is the second church in the letters. Thyatira is the fourth church, the fourth being like the trunk of the tree or the center branch. And Philadelphia is next to last, if you, well, in the order of the presentation. So, not in my order, but if you were to see the menorah laid out across, and you saw Thyatira in the center, and then you go out two, and then two more, and then two more. The first and the last is Ephesus and Laodicea. But the second and the sixth, which would be on the same common branch going across the trunk, would be Smyrna and Philadelphia. So there is a bifurcation of the menorah where one side reflects the other. This shows up in other ways, other applications of this idea. But here we see it in the condition of the churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia. These are the only two churches of the seven letters that do not have criticisms from Christ in their conditions. Now, the other thing that's relevant here is in total, there are seven churches. We have two that go without any condemnation or criticism. And then that leaves five who do have criticisms of various degrees. This is reflected in the miracle of the five loaves and the two fishes, because these two churches represent the fishes. The other churches represent the loaves. And remember, the loaves represent the bread. Now, in a previous letter, we had the mention of manna, which is essentially the life-giving bread, which was the body of Christ in the communion, the bread of life. So these other five churches have represented bread or bodies, which by inference will be broken. But these two represent the fish, which can be related to many things, but generally we, based on the description of these two churches, we can understand that they are positive, in a positive relationship with God without fault, without things that need repentance for. And so the fishes, whether it's 153 fish at the end of John, or whether it is the general notion of the complete completed followers. Here we have the two churches. Anyway, so the five loaves and the two fishes, the five churches which receive it partial or total condemnation, depending on which church it is. There's two, and then Thyatira. If you understand that Thyatira is the center host of the other branches, then you can understand that it is not like the others. And while it there's a narrative, a commentary that goes against and for some of the people there, you can understand that it's at the center because of its innate Jewishness and because it represents essentially the trunk of the tree. And then you have six others. And then when you break down those six, you find that there's three different conditions. We find there's two that are under full condemnation, two that are not condemned at all, and two that are that have strengths and weaknesses. And so there's at least four or three different conditions. And really, if you include Thyatira as sort of the Jewish root of the rest of the faith, then you can see that there's, you know, Judaism who's going to be restored in the end. And that is actually related to what's coming in our discussion of the new covenant in Jeremiah. And then you have these three other conditions. And so it will be interesting to find out in the end, as God takes his faithful church away and the Holy Spirit is taken temporarily, and how God dispenses with these other churches. Because basically, if you are the type of the condemned church, you are absolutely going to really be under condemnation. You're going to face judgment. But if in the process, as events play out, you do repent, whether it's an individual or a church body, then you become one of the others, or maybe at least not the one that's most condemned, because you're already going to be facing the great trial. I don't want to get too much into eschatology here as in this series, in this larger series, because I don't want the theoretical questions to get in the way of the plainly stated word of God and the life of Christ and his statements and commandments. We're going to discuss the difference between commandments, and the Ten Commandments in the law soon. But in this little section, what I want to do is we're going to cover Smyrna and we're going to cover Philadelphia and a few added details in addition to the text. The letter to the Church of Smyrna is quite short, and if you wanted to put them in a historical context, this would be an early church, but I think, as we've mentioned before here, there's clearly going to be people and or churches who reflect this circumstance right now. And remember, wherever you're at in the world or whatever your circumstances, there's other places where these church types are going to be seen and in existence. Okay, so the church in Smyrna, this is a short letter. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Second death, of course, being eternal. Our spiritual existence both supersedes and goes beyond our physical life. And so that's the second death, if one would be condemned eternally. But here, the Church of Smyrna is not criticized by Christ, but it is facing false accusations by the synagogue of Satan, who he says they say they are Jews and are not. This is a very serious circumstance today in the world, as this is all projecting towards the end time resolution. In the same way, in Jesus' day, he confronted the Pharisees, who claimed to be Jews, who claimed to be worshiping, you know, representing the religion of the sons of Jacob. And in fact, He said, no, you're not doing that. If you knew my father, you would know me, he said. And he said, in fact, they're doing the works of their father, the devil. And it leaves a synagogue of Satan, or in other places you see it referenced as that they're worshiping serpents. So these things are literal direct statements. And in the niceties of our churchianity, we don't want to address these hard topics. We don't want to be called against a certain type of people. But the funny thing is, you see, these people aren't really who they claim to be. And this understanding, this is a true understanding of historical fact that has been whitewashed in conventional teaching. Some of you know this or even working for them, which woe to you. But for the rest of you, they are swimming among you, or you are swimming among them. And you need to know these people are out there, and as he says right here directly, not a metaphor or anything else, is for some reason I'm not seeing it right here, but basically they practice lies. They're full of lies. They're slandering, and they're full of lies. But these people, while they're afflicted and in poverty, they are rich because they're spiritually rich and they're maintaining their testimony. And he exhorts them to be faithful even unto the point of death. And I will give you life as your victory's crown. So these are in difficulty. In other words, so in the description box, I said, completing the good and the bad and the ugly, which is like the churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia. Can you be one if your existence does not match? If you're thinking you're in one of the good churches, or you're in good spiritual condition with God, are you poor? Are you afflicted? This is not to say that poverty is qualifies you. It doesn't. There's a lot of poor people who also practice evil. But the point is, they are afflicted and not having an easy life. And in part, it's reflected, and they're under accusation, false accusation, slander. And so they're, because they have a true faith and are standing by it, they're under accusation and affliction. Okay, so we'll move on here to the Church of Philadelphia. And it's just necessary to go through these things as part of this testimony. It was made clear to me that this is part of what needs to be discussed. This entire series is not just a summary, but it's highlighting certain aspects of things that paint a cohesive picture of this message in the end times to church leaders. And it is both a warning and an encouragement. And so anyway, to the Church of Philadelphia, the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my commands to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have. So there's at least, this is the third church, if not fourth, that I can recall reading here, hold on to what you have, so that no one can take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here, Philadelphia, once again, no criticism, and they are not suffering slander, but they have little strength. And there's nothing negative here about this church, but they have little strength, but they do have the promise that he will take them out of the way of the time of trouble coming on the earth, essentially the wrath of God. They will be taken away from the wrath of God and protected. And it says, I will keep you from, and we relate this to the expectation of rapture and the harpazo and some of these other, whether you consider translation or rapture or where you don't believe in it. This keeping away from the time of trouble is, in this particular case, means protected from or separated from, but there is a wide range of possibilities of how that can be done. I don't want to get too far down this path, but I just want to point out that this is going to be protected, okay? Whether it's by rapture, translation, spiritual bubble, whatever you want to think of, it's a protection for this church of Philadelphia. The hour of trial is coming on the whole world. This hour of trial is the refining. Why is God allowing all this? And why does the rest of Revelation talk about these judgments pouring out? Well, there's many different aspects to it. It's centered largely on Israel and Jerusalem. Ultimately, it encompasses the entire world. And in large part, the purpose of it is, there's two purposes. One is cleansing the people and cleansing the earth, cleansing the church bodies and the religions, and which becomes, on an individual level, a purification. So if you are following Jesus, Jesus walked a difficult path. He suffered these things. And while you are not to run directly into trouble, you are supposed to stand in your faith if you're challenged or if you go through things. Because, as I mentioned in the previous recording, as Job was tried not because he was at fault, but because God put him forward as someone who was living as they should have been and allowed the devil to test him. And by Job standing in his faith and standing by his right relationship and practices with God, he defeated Satan. He made Satan look like a fool. God put him up, Satan up to it. Say, have you considered my servant Job? So here, these people are doing the same kind of thing. They are in the, whether it's the little strength of Philadelphia or the accusations and slander and poverty of Smyrna, they are standing in the faith and maintaining their right relationship and recognize the name of Jesus Christ as they go through their lives and go through their spiritual walk. And then the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. This I wanted to point out and reference real quick. There are those out there in certain groups who practice a type of spirituality which is biblically related. But there's two large problems that even in their secrecy that I am aware of. And one is they're following a female goddess entity, which is the false light, not the true light. They're feeling this is Mystery Babylon. This is the queen of heaven. And sometimes this is basically in some of these circles, they consider this person, this entity, the spiritual entity, to be the wife of God and divine in her own right. And but they refer to her as the widow. And she's referred to in this way because if she is the wife of God and she's a widow, it's the indirect way of saying God is dead. And this was essentially the satanic religion started by Nimrod way back in the at that time. And so that was the beginning of the, and eventually they had to become secret and practice in secret, which they do to this day because it's such an advantage. And the other aspect of this is they obviously practice not only deceit in terms of secrecy, but they practice deceit. And by the way, Mystery Babylon, the word mystery, it just means secret. Okay, so you can consider it Secret Babylon. So all these secret societies or these people who worship various different ways in secrecy, they are following the wrong teaching. Jesus addressed these people at one point. Many of his teachings and parables touched on occultic practices that, and it's one of the reasons he enraged a lot of the people hearing him, because, especially the authorities, because they were doing these practices. And one example is, he said, if you have true light, you don't put it under a basket. You put it out in the open so it can benefit everybody. And there are people who worship and do their things in, for example, buildings with no windows. And they claim to have a light, but that light they don't share with everybody else. They keep it to themselves and share it only to a select few. But then they claim it's the true light, and that's not what it is. So the other thing that these people do, and there's more than one group of people that I'm considering here. But they're all associated with groups who have, in one form or another, actually participated in ancient times in the Kingdom of Israel. But the other aspect of this is this New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Because there's, in particular, one aspect of this group where they very aggressively throughout their entire history for at least 1,000 years have been trying to build a foundation for establishing what they would call the New Jerusalem. And this New Jerusalem is something that they're trying to make through their provision. Now, there is the outside chance that these people have gotten a specific leading from God to do these things. But much of what they believe is anti-scriptural. It's not scriptural. In fact, it's against scriptural. It's female goddess worship. It's Luciferianism. It's stratified tiers of authority and what have you. They're supposedly, you know, they have the truth, but then, you know, they have what they call truth, which is knowledge and wisdom, but then they don't share it with everybody. They keep it, they hold it back and keep it segregated for their own benefit and the benefit of the people who contribute to their existence. So the ethic is completely not what Jesus exemplified. And so if you are in one of these groups, you should check yourself and at least not be deceived as to who you're working for. And if your heart is right and willing, you know, ask yourself what you can do, and you need to get with God and pray on these things. Go straight to God and just call out to him. There's not enough time left to go through a big, long process. He is moving very, very rapidly right now. We have seen escalation over decades. We've seen escalation over years, and we're seeing escalation, I think, here in days of the phrase that's on the back of the money of the United States was out of order, earning out of chaos order. And the chaos, they are doing everything they can to create it now. God is not letting it, not letting them do everything they want. They keep getting where they want on every one of their efforts. They keep getting where they want to get, sort of by half. And if you take a journey, and every time you make a step, you get halfway, you know, you reduce the distance by half. It's compelling in one sense because it looks like you're getting to your destination. But if you're only ever able to get cut the distance in half, you never fully get to your destination. So it looks to me like this is a fool's errand, which by definition they're on. But they're going to continue to do this, and God is going to continue to allow them to do this, because this difficulty, this tribulation that we are in since the first century, all the first century writers, John, Paul, Peter, mentioned that they were in the tribulation. It started at the cross. That is when the war ensued. But we're not in God's wrath yet. And the wrath pours out almost indiscriminately. But the rest of the difficulty is meant to make life more and more difficult. And as I said in the previous recording, the middle road, God gave me a word about a year and a half, now 2 years ago now. He is taking the middle road away, the middle road of indecision. You're going to have to choose left or right. You're going to have to choose sheep or goat. You're going to have to choose paths. He's going to eliminate the option to sidestep everything. But if you are fully in him, then he may make a provision where you are covered under these circumstances. But we've had health scares and other things where people are being pressured to do a particular thing. And spiritual discernment would have been especially useful in making the right choice there. So this is what we are going through, and it's just necessary to lay some of the groundwork, and most particularly, the Lord has given me a heart to just redress some of these things. It's important to go back to the fundamentals. It's important to touch on the book of Revelation in a particular way, and this is going to ultimately result in more specific and, frankly, a little spicier messages as we move on here, in order to speak to specific issues and specific conditions. But it was appropriate to address these seven churches and their spiritual conditions, and appropriate to address the author of our faith, and it was appropriate to address some of these other things as we go on. Things are going to get spicy now, and really remember the new covenant, because that is the covenant that supersedes all of them and is connected to every other covenant God has laid down with people. So do not forget it. Go back to it. And it is the cover and the answer and the shield against the corruption that is coming in to church and the leadership and the pressure that it will be asserted on everybody, both governmentally and religiously, and but indirectly, of course, in the monetary system. So you understand what the new covenant is, then you'll be able to understand what's wrong with these other things and see when they're coming at you. So God bless you, and please patience. We're going to wrap up the energy here from here on.